Hello and welcome to the Occult London podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as many other topics. This is the 12th episode of a series exploring different concepts in relation to the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. I'm your host, Will, and I'll be guiding you on this journey and talking to you about the Tree of Life. If you like the podcast, please feel free to follow us and go to our website, which is www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe. Hope you enjoy the show. So, in this episode, we will be exploring some of the symbolism and meaning behind the ninth sephira on the Tree of Life, which is known as Yesod, and it's attributed to the planet of the moon. This silvery, ethereal temple of enchantment lies at the base of the middle pillar above Malkut, and so it's the sphere of foundation, the astral light, and also illusion. Before we begin, I wanted to recite the relevant Orphic hymn to the moon from the Eleusinian Mysteries to hopefully invoke some of the energizing and formative powers of the lunar sphere into tonight's discussion. And it goes like this. Hear, goddess queen, diffusing silver light, bull-horned and wandering through the gloom of night, with stars surrounded and with circuit wide, night's torch extending through the heavens you ride. Female and male, with silvery rays you shine, and now full orbed, now tending to decline. Mother of ages, fruit-producing moon, whose amber orb makes night's reflected noon. Lover of horses, splendid queen of night, all-seeing power bedecked with starry light. Lover of vigilance, the foe of strife, in peace rejoicing and a prudent life. Fair lamp of night, its ornament and friend, who givest to nature their work, their destined end. Queen of the stars, or wise Diana, hail, decked with a graceful robe and an ample veil. Come, blessed goddess, prudent starry bright, come, moony lamp with chaste and splendid light. Shine on these sacred rites with prosperous rays, and pleased accept thy suppliant's mystic praise. And that's the Orphic hymn to the moon from the Eleusinian Mysteries. So before we start talking about Yesod, we'll go, as we have with the other sephira, we'll go through the basic correspondences just so we're kind of clear on them. So the title of this particular sephira is Yesod, which means foundation. The name of God is Shaddai El-Chai, which is Almighty Living God. The archangel is Gabriel, which means strength of God. The angelic host is the cherubim, or the powers of the elements. The astrological correspondences is Levana, which is the moon. And the tarot correspondences is the four nines, the pack. And the elemental correspondence is air. Other things as well, so the path text, which is what we've been discussing every week, goes as follows. The ninth path is the pure intelligence, so called because it purifies the numerations. It proves and corrects the designing of their representation and disposes the unity with which they are combined, without diminution or division. The magical image is a beautiful and strong naked man, and also it's associated with Atlas. And other titles as well, which are quite relevant, are the Treasure House of Images. In terms of the colours, in Atzeluth we have indigo, in Bria we have violet, in Yetzirah we have very dark purple, and Isaiah we have citrine flecked with azure. So those are the main ones. As you've mentioned above, this is very much the sphere of the moon. So it sits at the base of the pillar, but in between Tiferet, the sun, and Earth, which is Malkut. Traditionally, the moon has always been seen as being a key part of the nighttime and also dreams and magic. So we can see here how it's kind of gained its title of the foundation as being a kind of representative of the astral realm. as well as being very relevant to the moon, this title of foundation also relates to this power of the spheres hold over how our thoughts and beliefs form the foundation of our psyche and form our behaviours. So this is the astral treasure house of images that forms how we perceive the world, our foundation, as well as being the astral matrix in which all forms in the physical universe are based and built upon. So it has a strange combination of symbols. On the one hand, it's called foundation and has the image of a naked man holding up the universe. But on the other, it's very much related to the moon. And this paradox is something that Dionne Fortune talks about in her very famous mystical Kabbalah book, when she says the following: we get the concept then of the fluidic waters of chaos being finally gathered up and organized by means of the representations that were designed in Hod. This final proving and correcting and disposing of the unity of these representations or formative images, resulting in the organization of the machinery of the universe, the vision of which constitutes the spiritual experience of this sephira. In fact, Yesod might aptly be described as the sphere of the machinery of the universe. If we liken the kingdom of the earth to a great ship, then Yesod would be the engine room. So she's saying Yesod is the engine room, but it also has this responsibility of kind of proving and correcting the emanations from above, so that only the kind of purest forms manifest in the material plane. And this is, I think, from my point of view anyway, one of the meanings of the phrase we heard from the Sefer Yetzirah, which is it proves and corrects the designing of their representations and disposes the unity with which they are designed, without diminution or division. So in a nutshell, really, any idea, thought or form that exists in Malkut must come through these gates of Yesod that purify the emanations from high up the tree. Tal Malachi, in his excellent book Gnosis of the Cosmic Christ, which is a book about the Gnostic Christian Kabbalah, expresses this excellently when he says the following about Yesod: it acts as a filter, diffusing the supernal light so that Malkut can receive it without being overwhelmed. The force of the influx of the supernal light and spiritual energies of the Sephiroth flowing into Yesod is too intense to be received directly by Malkut. Thus, Yesod absorbs the force of the influx and serves to measure the flow of these energies into Malkut. So as we've seen, Yesod sits at the base of the astral triad, the magical forming, triangle really, forming a triptych with the spheres of Hod, Splendor and Netzach Glory. So these three aspects are important in the performance of any kind of magic. And this is primarily because Yesod is obviously the base of the astral etheric energy, which is the binding force behind any kind of form. And that's why the moon is so important to any practicing magician. Gareth Knight explains this really well when he describes astral etheric energy as the following: an energy of integration which coordinates the physical molecules, cells and so on into a definite organism. And so without it, our physical bodies would be nothing but collections of independent cells. All forms have their structure built and held by the etheric web or network. Thus, it is the foundation of physical existence. In this way, Yesod can be said to hold the image of everything that exists in the physical world, and thus it is the storehouse of images. So from a magical point of view, how we can describe that is we perform our magic in the sphere of Yesod to affect change in the material plane of Malkut. And it's much easier to change the template of things in the astral than it is to work the other way around. So Yesod very much can be considered the engine room of the ship of Malkut, as well as being the basis for magical practice. The sphere also acts as a connecting element between the lower self and the higher individuality of Tiferet, and it's here that we can also begin to make contact with the higher self and call the guardian angel. So there's no coincidence that the tarot card of temperance, which, if we look at it, depicts an angel. And I'm just going to see if I can find my card, temperance, here. So, yeah, it depicts an angel. And this is the card that you're looking up straight from Yesod up to Tipperet. And astrologically as well, it's connected with the star sign of Sagittarius. So you've got the idea of the arrow. It's an arrow shooting straight up. So we're looking up through the moon and the astral plane, right up into Tiferet, where this holy God angel is waiting to come and heed our call. Going on to the god names. The god name is Shaddai El-Chai, which translates as the Almighty and Living God. In Gematria, this adds up to 314, which is also the same as the name of Metatron, who is the Archangel of Keter, the voice of God. So this obviously shows us a direct link between the creative force of Keter and Yesod. The Archangel is obviously the messenger of God, and it's Gabriel. Gabriel is obviously very important in the Bible because he is the angel who visits Zachary to tell him he'll have a son, who's going to be John the Baptist, obviously. And he's also the angel who visits Mary to tell her of the coming of Jesus. So he's also particularly important in the Islamic tradition, as it's him who delivers the Quran to Muhammad. And he can be seen as very much this kind of ruler of the imagination, the psychic abilities, and help with emotional issues as well. The angelic order is obviously the cherubim, and they are the strong. They're the gates. They're the guardians of the gates of Eden, and thus can be seen as gatekeepers to the universe. From a mythological point of view, as it's the sphere of the moon, there's lots of different goddesses associated with this sphere, including Diana, the Huntress, Selene, Luna, and also Hecate. So, you know, with the idea of the moon waxing and waning, so there's also lots of different aspects of the goddess that can be attributed to Yesod in the idea of the imagery of the maiden, mother, and crone. To this kind of idea, when he says the following: people regard Diana and the moon as one and the same. The moon, Luna, is so called from the verb to shine, lucera. Lucina is identified with it, which is why in our country they invoke Juno, Lucina, in childbirth, just as the Greeks call on Diana the light-bearer. Diana also has the name Omnivaga, or wandering everywhere, not because of her hunting, but because she is numbered as one of the seven planets. Her name Diana derives from the fact that she turns darkness into daylight, dies. She is invoked at childbirth because children are born occasionally after seven, or usually after nine, lunar revolutions. A good example of a mythic story illustrating the forces of Yesod as well is the story of Diana, Artemis, and Actaeon. So if we read Ovid in Metamorphosis, he tells us of a hidden grotto with a pool hidden deep in the woods. Actaeon is a young hunter who accidentally stumbles across the grotto and sees Artemis, Diana, bathing. Diana is really angry and curses him for spying, and he's told that if he speaks out, he will be turned into a stag. And at that point, Actaeon hears the rest of his party coming through the woods and cries out, and so he is turned into a stag, whereupon he's then devoured in a very gory way by his own dogs and hounds. So it's an interesting idea here for the, you know, the punishment is obviously meted out for speaking. So as we've seen, the Sephirah of Dart, which we talked about in a couple of weeks ago, is knowledge. And speech is connected with Dart. So we can see that there's a connection here between the, you know, the sexual lunar energy of Yesod and then obviously the speech part within Dart. And this again links back to this Dart Yesod circuit of force, and that kind of initiatory aspect of that. As we've seen previously, there's lots of different concepts such as death and sacrifice, if seen from a Kabbalistic point of view, and, you know, normally it means more of an exchange of energy and awakening. So Akhteon as the virgin male is kind of initiated by the goddess in Yesod and then given access to knowledge, which is Dart. And here's a quote from here to kind of end this episode. Had gazed on nature's naked loveliness, Akhteon-like, and now he fled astray, and his own thoughts along that rugged way, pursued like raging hounds their father and their prey. And that's from Shelley. Thanks for joining us this week on the Occult London podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. And also look us up on Facebook. It's Occult London Podcast. Please feel free to leave comments, or if you've got any questions, or if you'd like to get involved with the show, then please get in touch. And we look forward to speaking soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.